Chapter 21. Gard and I went to Oslo. It sounds like it would be a long trip, but it's a hell of a lot faster when you don't have to worry about boarding, clearing security, going through customs, or actually moving a linear distance. Gard opened a way into the Never Never down near the zoo, simply cutting at the fabric of reality with a rune-etched dagger. The way took us on a short hike through a dark wood of dead trees, and ended when we emerged in what she said was Iceland. It sure as hell was cold enough. A second way took us across the surface of a frozen lake to stop before the roots of a vast old tree whose trunk could have contained my apartment with room to spare for a garage. From there, we emerged into what seemed like a cold, damp basement, and I found myself face to face with 24 men wearing body armor and pointing sleek-looking high-tech assault rifles at the end of my nose. I did absolutely nothing, carefully. One of the men with guns said something, a short phrase in a language I didn't understand. Gard answered in what I presumed to be the same tongue and gestured to me. The leader of the guards eyed us both suspiciously for a moment, then said something quietly, and all the rifles stopped pointing at me. Two guards returned to stand on either side of the doorway. Two more took up a station facing Gard and me, evidently cautious about getting more company through the same way we just used. The rest returned to a couple of card tables and a few sleeping cots. Gard shook her head and muttered, "Ein Herjar. Give them a little sip of renewed mortality and 4,000 years of discipline go right out the window." "I recognize some of these guys," I said. I nodded toward a trio playing cards. "Those three. They were some of the mercenaries Marcone brought to that party in the Wraith Deeps." Gard glanced at the three and then rolled her eyes. "Yes, and?" "And they're just available for hire?" I asked. "If you can afford them," Gard said, smiling so that her teeth showed. "Though be warned that prices may vary. This way, Dresden." I followed her out into a hallway and past several rooms filled with enough weaponry to win a minor war in a century of one's choice. Racks of ashwood spears stood side by side with old bolt-action Mausers, which stood next to modern assault rifles. Katana-style swords shared a room with flintlocks and Maxim guns. One shelving unit housed an evolutionary progression of grenades, from powder-filled crockery with ignitable fuses to the most modern miniature flashbang grenades. Judging from the variety of the place's contents, it was like looking at a museum, but from the quantities present, it could only be an armory. We got to an elevator whose walls were only a metal grid, so that we could see out of them as we went up. I stopped counting after seeing 7 floors of similarly equipped armories go by. "Guess your boss believes in being prepared," I said. Gard smiled. "It's one of his things, yes?" "It's a little extreme, isn't it?" She looked at me with an arched brow. Then she said, "One can have only as much preparation as he has foresight." I considered that for a moment, and decided that as cryptic statements go, it was all kinds of bad. The elevator kept going up and up and up. Brief views of various floors went by. One floor looked like an enormous gym and was filled with sweating men and women working out. Another looked like an expensive legal office. Another was all done in antiseptic white, bathed with just a bit too much light and smelled of disinfectant. Another was lit by candles and the murmuring of voices chanting. Still another was obviously some kind of enormous chemical laboratory. Still another level was filled with cells whose occupants could not be seen as anything other than shadowy presences, and so on. I shook my head. Hell's bells, it's like some kind of demented theme park. "The difference being that nothing you see here is meant to entertain," Gard said. "And don't bother asking questions. I won't answer them. Ah, we've reached the ground floor." The elevator continued to rise up through an enormous atrium that housed 10 or 12 stories of what looked like high-end corporate offices. Each floor was open to the atrium, and between the plants, decorative trees, the waterfall, and all the windows, plus the skylights far above, The entire building looked like a single massive garden. The sounds of office activity and equipment, birds and the flowing waterfall, all blended together into an active whole that formed a white noise, bustling with life, variety, and movement. We soared up through the atrium, and our open-sided elevator vanished into a short tunnel. A moment later, the door opened on a rather novel reception area. It had all the things such offices always did: a prominent desk, several seats in a waiting area, a coffee machine, and a table laden with magazines. In this office, however, all of those materials were made of stainless steel. So were the floors, so were the walls, as was the ceiling. Even the lamps and the coffee pot were made of stainless steel. The magazines alone stood out as shapeless, soft-looking blobs of garish color. The logo for Monarch Security stood out upon one wall in bas-relief, and somehow reminded me more of a crest upon a shield than a corporate marketing symbol. A thick, round circle bisected by a straight, vertical line emerging from either side of the circle. It might have been a simplified, abstract representation of an eye being cut from its socket by some kind of blade. I have some of that symbol written in scar tissue on my own face, where a cut had run down from eyebrow to cheekbone, but had barely missed my eye. It might have been simple, abstract symbology, representing the female and the male with round and straight shapes, suggesting wholeness and balance. Or, heck, it could have been overlaid Greek lettering, Omega and Iota on top of each other. Omega, Iota. The last detail? The final detail? Maybe it meant something more like every last little thing. Or maybe it combined all of those things, the blind eye that sees all. Yeah, that felt right. Two women sat behind the big desk at computer monitors consisting of small clouds of very fine mist, wherein were contained all the drifting images and letters of the company Cyber Reality, floating like the wispiest of illusions. Sufficiently advanced technology, I suppose. The women themselves were apparently identical twins. Both had raven-dark hair cut in close-fitting caps, and it matched the exact shade of their identical black suits. Both had dark eyes that sparkled with intensity and intelligence.